we're thankful for the ministry here. If you take your Bibles, turn to Titus. Titus. And I've been asked, how did I get here? Because I'm not young. It's supposed to be Young Pastors Week. Yeah, that's why I cut it short, is it looks bald. See, it blends in. You can't tell it's gray. And so, but apparently, Amy Brader and Valerie Wright, yeah, I'm calling you out. I didn't appreciate that. Last time I saw in the Bible where somebody disrespected the preacher, watch out for bears. And so, we love Fairhaven. And what a privilege it is to be able to come back and to preach. And please know this, our church tonight is, we have our midweek service on Thursdays as well, and we have a prayer meeting tonight, and our church is praying for the service. I believe that God, through one message, one moment in time, can revive a heart. All it takes is one verse to melt a heart of stone. And here tonight, I want to be a challenge to you. I want to be a help. I want the Holy Spirit to convict. Tonight, the title of the message is The Message, The Man, The Ministry. Fairhaven Baptist Church, you have an awesome responsibility. Churches all across America send their young people to you to train. Young people. You have an awesome responsibility. You have been sent to this place to be trained. Hold fast. In a day and age when compromise is rampant, at every turn we are finding the next big name so-and-so, Dr. Big Shot, is dropping the standard. Please understand this, that dropping the standard is not the way to achieve personal holiness. Is that not what we're striving for? We're not striving for big college. We're not striving for big churches. We're not striving. Hey, let's get this down to the nuts and bolts of the matter, is we're striving for personal holiness. We're striving for a generation that will stand for God, that will not be afraid to boldly proclaim. Is that not what Peter and John did? They came from the prayer meeting, went into the preaching place, and proclaimed Jesus Christ. And what was amazing at the end of all of that, they marveled that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Amen. But they marveled because they knew they had been with Jesus. I don't care how many degrees you can get after your name. You can have more degrees than a thermometer. If you don't spend time with Jesus, it's no avail. And so tonight I want to challenge the message, the man, the ministry. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, you know my heart. God, truly we need churches like this one to continue to stand. But Lord, even if this church doesn't stand, you call the individual to stand and hold fast. And God, I pray that we would just get a holy unction from you to hold to your word, to live for you. God, tonight, please descend down upon us. Holy Spirit, do what you do. Convince of truth, convict of sin, and convert us so that we can go forth and strengthen the brethren. God, help us tonight. Lord, I need you. The arm of flesh is weak and will fail every single time. Lord, I need you to fill me with your power. Meet with us in a holy way tonight. Lord, help us when we walk away from this place to know that God was here tonight. God, that's what we need. We need to be ushered into your presence. If we can get a glimpse of you, God, truly we can see a revival. Help us to see you tonight. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Titus chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse number 1, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. The first thing we're going to take a look at tonight is the message. The message. What is the message? What are we to be proclaiming? What are we to be taking to the world? The Bible says right here that his word was manifested through preaching. God was pleased with the foolishness of preaching. It's not sharing. We share the gospel. We preach the word. And when you, hey, listen, we've got to have a hungering for biblical preaching. We do not need soft soap. Bob Kelly used to say, when you get soft soap in the pulpit, you get dirty Christians in the pew. He said, we need some 20 mule borax. Hey, listen, we've got enough soft soap. It barely gets the germs off your hand. It's not 99.99% antibacterial. Please understand this. We have a message that God has given to us. He says, preach. Young men. Hey, young men in the college, stand up. God's command to you, if you are called to the ministry, is to preach. We are not entertainers. We are, hey, listen, we are not glory hounds. We are not pop stars. We are preachers of the word. You may not have you may not be flamboyant. You may not be bombastic. You may be methodical. A little monotonous. But preach the word. Do not shy away from this thing called preaching. It's the greatest, greatest privilege in the entire world to proclaim God's word. Thank you, gentlemen. You may be seated. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 58, verse number 1, cry aloud. When the preacher, hey, do you know that George Whitefield, when he was preaching, it has been said that you could hear him over a mile away. That when he got done preaching, his throat was bleeding because he knew he had a message. He had a message, and he said the people must know. What's the message? If we're supposed to preach, what's the message? Jesus. By the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. It is through the foolishness of preaching. We are to cry aloud. We're to spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Last time I checked. Now, I'm not a great musician. And I play the radio real well. I am notorious for finding static. All right? I don't know a whole lot, but I know a trumpet's not quiet. Matter of fact, I've heard many times that we have a young man in our church. He is a conductor, and he's like, you know, trumpets make me mad. He's like, they just try to show off. Now, he's a string. And he's like, you can't hear me if they're blaring it out over there. I was like, pride bringeth contentions, brother. But here it is. We're to lift our voice up like a trumpet. That's not. Praise God for amplification for some people. Some of us like, turn him down, please. But notice this, when Isaiah said that, he said, show my people their transgression. Do you know that two-thirds of what we do is negative? Reprove, rebuke, exhort. You're like, I don't understand why Pastor Dameron's always on us. Because God told him to be negative. He said two-thirds of the time, negative. He's like, and you know, you got to lift him up every so often. So he can wait till the end of the month. God never gave the status quo of like, you got to have two negatives and a positive one on a Sunday. He can wait till the last Sunday and be all positive. You're like, I just don't like that. Take it up with God. He said it. We've got a problem with God's word. And that's where society today, you know, it's amazing to me. We can be bold in everything. You can be bold in politics. Like right now, be praying for Iowa. We've got a heartbeat bill in the Congress right now coming up for a vote. Pray for us. That life begins at the heartbeat. That's pretty good. It ain't conception, but I'll take it. We can be bold and declare abortion is murder. But then when it comes to preaching the Bible, the truth after godliness, we get real quiet. Like, well, I don't really, who are we going to offend? All right, I'm not trying to be irreverent. But who cares? The offense of the cross. It's going to be offensive to people. But Jesus didn't say, well, you know, for those people, let's try to be a little more diplomatic. Let's try over here to just be a little more sensitive. And if you're a little more sensitive, then it will be less offensive, and then they'll follow me. Did that work for the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus and said, hey, I've kept all the commandments. Jesus tells him, hey, okay, take all you have and sell it. What? Like, yeah, you heard me. And he walked away disappointed. Now, I don't know about you, but he had money, Pastor Dameron. I think that could support some missions. We'd be like, oh yeah, come on, brother, let's go to lunch. Let's go get a chimichanga. Oh yeah. Let me get that ticket for you. And Jesus said, no. If you're not willing to forsake all and follow after me, then no, sir. I'm not going to take your leftovers. And we think that God wants our leftovers. You know what? I'll give to God after I pay all my bills. God is not looking for your leftover. He's got a cattle on a thousand hill. He can put steak on the plate anytime. He doesn't need leftovers. Like, well, you know, when I get a little bit older, I'll serve Jesus. That's leftover. We've got a message to give. What is that message? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord. Excuse me. 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 2. Preach the word. Now, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And in verse number 4, it tells us, and in him is the life. Who is that? Come on, talk to me. All right, come on now. I know I'm in the north, and I know y'all ain't heavy ameners, and I know Like, you're not hand raisers, and, you know, I know all that, but y'all, I'm used to a group that'll actually talk to me. All right, so who is this it's talking about? All right, come on now, we can do a little bit better than that. Who is this talking about? Jesus Christ, the one that died on the cross for you. Did you forget that? Did you forget that he shed his precious blood for them? Well, you know, come on, Brother Tony. I mean, really? I think he's talking to them. No. No, he's not. He's talking to all of us. We're to preach Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. I get excited about that. I get excited about being able to preach about Jesus. I get excited about preaching the one that took my sin away. The one that took my sin as far as darkness is from dawn. I get excited about the one that said, you know what, they're down in the deepest sea, never to be remembered again. How is that possible with God? He can never forget anything, and yet he chooses to forget your sin.
That's not true. I was going to say, I don't remember what I ate this morning, but I remember everything I eat. Amen.
Amen. Woo. You can't tell, I know. That's why y'all laughing. You're like, hi, he's a funny guy. But you know, there are some things I forget. God never forgets. But he chooses to say, I'm not going to remember that anymore. And when that accuser of the brethren comes to him and says, hey, what about so and so? What? What's on the books for Jeff on this date? Is there anything there? Nothing but the blood. Amen. Woo-hoo-hoo, come on. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's Jesus. I love how Jeremiah said it. In Jeremiah 20 and verse number 9, I will not make mention of him. He got mad at God. Said, I ain't going to make mention of him. Uh-uh. I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. For some of you, that'd be a good thing. Parents of teenagers are saying, amen. I know you don't say amen out loud, but I'll say it for you. Amen. But here it is. He said, I'm gonna not make mention of him, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. Woo! Hey, by the way, you're talking about your bus routes. You're talking about missions. You're talking about what is the entire purpose of this church? It's to preach Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's not just a preacher that gets up behind the pulpit. All right, just to humor me. How many of you teach a Sunday school class? All right. All over the place, all right? How many of you teach a junior church class? All right? How many of you work on a bus route? How many of you have any interaction with people that come on the premises of the church? That's everybody. Every single one of us have the message of Jesus Christ to give to those people. And we shy away from that. We stop. Now, I'm not saying Fairhaven does, but do we have to be that intense? Pastor Dameron's setting some pretty lofty goals. Well, does he have to go so hard? Is not Jesus worth it? Is not the message we have worth it? I'd say so. The Bible says, in 1 Peter 4, and verse number 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, as we just saw everybody in this room ministers, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Each and every single one of us have talents. Hey, you may not be the brightest bulb.
All right? I think about some of the people in this room. Brother Mitchell's a 120-watt man, just... And I take my little 4-watt. I put it next to his. I'm like, you know what? I'm not gonna. The Bible says if we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, we're unwise. The Bible is not asking you to compare yourself amongst each other. He is saying, let your light shine. Amen. I love this because I can let my 4 watts shine as bright as I possibly can, and I can be the neon light over here. Woo! And he can be his 120 over there, and he can be shining. Woo! But guess what? Hark. But here it is, that we are both shining for Jesus Christ. It does. Hey, college student, young man, you're like, well, I just don't have that talent. Who cares? Oh, and here, let me encourage you in this. I know it's our job as administrators to like bring the hammer down and like, you can't do it. Like, you're a loser. And you probably are, all right? Let's just be honest. You probably are. But do you know one of the most damaging things to me in the ministry was when I had 3 people that I looked up to said, you'll never pastor. You don't have the ability. You don't have the talent. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. You're not God. And it took me a long time to get over that, to say, God, I can't do it. I know I can't do it, but you've given me a message and you've told me to do it and I got to do it. But if you will just simply use a snot-nosed buzzkid like me, I'll go. And he said, okay, don't forget that. And when I get too big for my britches, and you're like, that's possible every week. About right. Praise God, we have a seamstress in our church. Amen. I need a suit tailored, please. The pastor is not going to match. I don't care. I'm not going to see it. Amen. You know what's amazing? It's amazing. God just wants to use you. He's got a message to get out. You've been given a responsibility. We're not stand-up comedians. We're not politicians. We're not pulpit personalities. We're vessels that God wants to use. The Bible tells us in Acts 4 and verse number 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Hey, how's your time with Jesus? Do you know who he is? I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know I have one that can bear my burden. Because they get heavy. But when they get heavy, and listen, we've got a young man. When I say young man, I consider myself young, so a young man, 36 years old, led him to the Lord October 23rd, 2017. He has just been diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. What do? You give him Jesus. It's ironic. 2016, led a man to the Lord named Michael. 2 weeks later, was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. This is my second round, Pastor Dameron, with a guy named Michael with an inoperable brain tumor. I'm like, God, are you trying to tell me something? He's like, yeah, Jeff. Give him Jesus. Amen. The only one that can bear that burden. I can't take it. I have no clue. He brought his MRI. He goes, this is my brain. I was like, and it's not on drugs. Amen. Like, what? I mean, what are you supposed to say? He's like, do you see the tumor? I'm like, yeah, it's right there. He goes, yep, it's right there. And it's affecting this whole section right here. He has little mini seizures every 3 hours. What are you supposed to do? Give them Jesus. You work with people. What are you supposed to do? You've got a message. Give them Jesus. You know, we've got to get past this whole, well, I got Saturday morning soul winning. I'm going to be there to do all my soul winning on Saturday morning. How about we yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him let our light shine on a daily basis? We've got to get to a point to where we're letting Jesus Christ have His will and way in our lives. So we see the message. I got to get going here because y'all are going to start twitching real bad. We can't have all that. And so let's look at the man. We see the message is Jesus Christ. Then we get to the man. Now, if you begin to read through this, you'll find that Titus is given the qualifications for a pastor. But I think the qualifications of a pastor are very interesting. Yes, he's to be the husband of one wife. And by the way, that still holds fast. There's a internet personality, and he goes on and he gives the sob story. And he says, my wife divorced me, but I'm staying faithful to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shame on the devil. And he says, I'm not resigning my church because my people don't want me to. Can we rewind? Your wife is divorcing you. You're staying faithful. Amen. You've got Jesus. But we need to go to this whole qualification thing. God is serious about what He wants for His preachers. Hey, young men, hey, get serious about these qualifications. We've got young men disqualifying themselves, and they think, oh, well, God is merciful. God is gracious. Yes, He is. Hallelujah. He does forgive. Amen. But He sets qualifications for a reason. Ooh, all right, we better move on. Amen. For the bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed. Now, this is where it gets real interesting to me. We have the qualifications for the pastor, but it's interesting how these qualifications overlap for ordinary laymen. Not self-willed. What does that mean? Not self-pleasing. Revelation 4 and verse number 11. But thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power. Right? All right, and what does it say? It says, for thou hast created all, not some, not part, all things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. Please understand this. You sitting here tonight have the qualification set upon you to please the Lord. You have been bought with the price of Jesus' blood. Amen. You are no longer your own. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We are not to be self-willed. It is not to be self-pleasing. We are to bring pleasure unto God. Well, you know what? I don't like those rules. We've got to come to a point where we're not living by a rule book, but we are ruled by a relationship. Hey, please understand this. My wife and I, this year, it'll be 14 years in May. Hey, amen. Woo. That's my wife. Now, you would get upset at me if I decided to go out and buy flowers for another lady. I hope you, Brother Raymond's the only one nodding his head at me. All right. If you see that, please pick up a 2x4 and smash me in the back of the knee, get me down to your level, and grab my face and shake it like this. And then I will tell you, it's for my wife. You'll be like, oh, okay, brother. Woo! And then you'll help me up and we'll go buy some new flowers. But here it is. I would expect you to be upset that if I'm trying to please another person that is not my wife. Please understand this. You are not bringing pleasure to God if you are just living for yourself. We live in a society today that is all about self-gratification. It's all about me. I don't care what so-and-so thinks. I don't care about so-and-so. Hey, our job is to be vessels that are bringing pleasure to God. Hey, listen, please understand, man, God is not necessarily concerned about your happiness. He is concerned about your obedience. And in your obedience, he gives the desires of your heart. But we've got that all mixed up. God wants me to be happy. Maybe not. Maybe the happenings that are coming in aren't very happy. They're not happy times. My grandmother just passed away. It wasn't a very happy time. I'm excited and glorifying God because she was saved. She's in heaven. Amen. We're not without hope. But to a lot of people that don't know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, they don't know if they're going to see her again. God's not necessarily concerned about your happiness, but he does bring joy. He does bring peace. He does bring the desires of your heart when you're following him. Young person, let me encourage you in this. Young person, get a hold of Jesus Christ. You're like, well, so-and-so made me mad. It was just with some family members, and they're bitter. They're bitter. You're like, well, you weren't there, Jeff. You just don't know. They did me wrong. Well, did you break the rule? Well, yeah. Well, then they were justified in kicking you out. But you want to get mad. Like, who do they think they are? They're not God. Only God can judge me. Rest assured, he will. Yeah. I think that's going to be a rude awakening when we get to eternity. Like, I don't know who you think you is. Like, oh, you just wait. You're going to find out who he is. He keeps his word. We must bring pleasure to him. We should be a lover of good men. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 16. Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. Hey, how about your friendships? How the men you're following, the men you're listening to, men you're fellowshipping with, do they refresh you? Or is it like you need to go take a shower after you get away from them? Hey, young person, you are who your friends are. But Amnon had a friend. You're like, well, they'll understand. Who cares? Hey, did you ever read that whole story about Amnon? His friend went and told Absalom what he did. And Absalom killed him. You're like, well, they'll stay loyal to me. No, they won't. They're going to look out for themselves. Because that's what you're doing. Like, man, I ain't going down for this. I'm going to snitch on you. Oh, yeah, I got your back, bro. You're going down. Snitches get stitches. Not in this house. I ain't going down for that. We must be a lover of good men. Hey, we've got to be listening to good, godly, biblical preaching. We must be holy. Romans 6, verse number 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God. Now watch this. When you get saved, you've been free from your sin. You get saved. And this is interesting terminology. It's not servants of God. It says servants to God. That means when I turn from my sin, I repent and turn to Jesus Christ. I receive him as my personal Savior. I then start to serve God. And what does it say? It says in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 22, ye have your fruit unto holiness. We've got to get to a point to where we're holy because it's the right thing to be. Not because I want to impress somebody. You're not fooling nobody. Hey, young person, you're not fooling nobody. College student, you're not fooling nobody. Like, the staff has seen me. Like, I was cracking up. Came across a fundamentalist. Somehow I got in there as a student of Fairhaven. I don't know who wrote that article. I want to take great, I got great issue with him. I think it was Pastor Love. But it said, Jeff loves the challenge of the academic schedule. False! That is false. I never said that. And you can tell because it took me 6 years. And I believe I'm the only one that has an honorary bachelor's degree. Like, get him out of here. Put him on someone else. But do you know there is something I learned here? The staff could see through things. I remember getting pulled into your office. I don't know if you remember this or not. But I had been married. I just got married. Love you. Just got married. We're in love. It's just precious. So I'm not going to be able to play ball the second semester. I'm just in so much love. And I got to work. And then I got a job. I don't know if you remember this or not. You probably do because you remember everything. But here it is. I got a job working with some people I shouldn't have been working with. And things just started going down. After about a month, I thought everything was going good. And I know everything's going down, but I thought I had it. He pulls me in the office. Hey, I want to talk to you for a minute. I'm like, oh, yeah. How you doing, brother? You're an idiot. Hammer down. And you know what? He was right. I was letting things slide. Because in Bible college, the Bible becomes a textbook. Don't tell me it doesn't, because I was there. I love that Bible. But it got old after every class having to open your Bible up. Oh, I'll get my Bible reading in Israel history. Like, <phew. laughs> Jeff, I'm praying. Praying for you to hurry up. Yeah, y'all know who the teacher was. Amen. Woo! I remember sitting in Mr. Armacost's class one day. Church history. I was falling asleep. I said, you know what? I'm gonna be the man. I'm going to get up and I'm going to get in the back and I'm going to take my notes. Let me get a podium for the next room. I don't know if you remember this. Got the podium. There it was. And I'm taking my notes. I still got the notes. There's a line. But I was leaning on the podium at the time. Boom! The entire class, I jumped. The entire class was, whoo! And Pastor Armacost is sitting there just. That's when the vote was taken to get me out of here. But here it is. You know, I learned in Bible college that it takes work to be spiritual. It takes work to be holy. It takes work to get in God's word. And then what do we see? All right, we see the man. We see we're supposed to be holy. But then lastly, we've got a ministry, the ministry. The ministry is people. As you begin to look through chapter 2 and chapter 3, we find out the message is Jesus Christ. We find out that the man is to be holy, he's supposed to be full of the Holy Spirit, and he's supposed to be given completely over to God so that the ministry can go forward. And what's supposed to be of the ministry? People. That the aged men, I guess I'm in that group now. The aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Aged men, hey, get this, in patience. Yes, the young man is foolish. Yes, he is going to make dumb mistakes. Yes, but you're to be patient with him and help him to grow in those situations. We see that the aged women, you're like, not me. aged women likewise, there they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Hey, that the aged women are to teach the young women. The aged men are to teach the young men. And it says, for the young men, be sober-minded in all things, so showing thyself a pattern of good works. Young men, we have got to show ourselves as a pattern for men to follow. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. It says right here, though, this is interesting, in doctrine showing uncorruptness. We're going to close with this. Ministry is to be uncorrupt. Pastor, where are you going with that? Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If a man soweth in his flesh, he shall of his flesh reap corruption. The ministry cannot be done in your flesh. It must be done in the Spirit. You cannot be the man, you cannot be the woman, you cannot be the college student, you cannot be the teenager, you cannot be the person God purposes for you to be if you are in the flesh. We must walk in the Spirit. As ye have received Christ, so walk ye in Him, rooted, built up, established in the faith. We must walk in the Spirit. You can never fulfill the ministry that God has for you. You can never be the man or the woman or college student or teenager or person you're supposed to be. You can never give the message that we're supposed to give unless we're uncorrupt. And the only way that happens is to walk in Christ. Tonight, my challenge to you, the message, the man, the ministry. God wants to use you. God has something for you to do, but you've got to yield to Him and let Him use you. Dear God, I thank you for this.